hey guys, welcome back to, you know, we didn't pull the lever.
Star Wars. Who did? I was like, stop. I was like, what are you
Hold
doing?
On. We can't keep going on with this. Bridget, please.
Pull the lever, cronk.
Wrong lever!
Oh, I love the falling dramatics. Okay, now we're ready. Hey guys, welcome back to Book Talk Made Me, the podcast where we're talking about all your favorite books from Book Talk, Bookstagram. You know, wherever you're going to get a good book, we're going to talk about it. Because we're your book club besties. And I'm Caitlin, joined by my co-hosts, Bridget and Hilda.
Hi.
Oh, it feels so good to have the gang back together today.
I know. I feel like it's been a hot second, even though we probably saw each other last week.
We did.
We did. And we've talked pretty much every single day since then. So it's
But
like,
it still feels like it's been a long time, right?
It does.
It's probably because this book was super long and we haven't really talked about it while we were reading it.
It was super long. And I think
I just say life is super long.
Life was super long.
A lot has happened in the past, like, month. Two weeks.
A lot has gone down. Yeah.
3 weeks? Yeah.
A lot has gone down.
2-3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. And I am just reflecting on the wackiest day of wacky things that have happened to me today.
You had your very own, like,
I wasn't stressed at any point.
Adventures
like,
and babysitting type thing.
Yeah. I was like, what is happening today? But rest assured, we've got our wine, we've got our beverginos, and we're here to talk about a book. The second book in the series, which is The Lady of Darkness. I don't want to say the series because that's the first book.
Well, I think that is The Lady of Darkness. Yeah.
Okay. I think I did this last time. And I'm like, what is it called again? My bad, y'all. It's The Lady of Darkness series, and we're talking about book two, Lady of Ashes.
Of Shadows.
Oh, that's the next one. We're talking
Lady
about
Lady of Ashes is book three. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about book two, Lady of Shadows. Now, before we, I guess we'll get into the overdramatic, dramatic.
Wait, can we say
synopsis.
The author's name?
Oh, yes. Melissa Rorick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And are you going to give the extended spoiler warning where we're talking about the entire book?
Yes.
The sass in this woman.
I know. So, yes, we are talking about book two in this particular instance, because we've only read up to book two. We may do callbacks to book one. So if you haven't read either and you are coming to this episode just to hang out with your good friends, Caitlin, Bridget, and Hilda, and you don't want to be spoiled, don't tread no further. But if you're down for a good time, you're down for thoughts and feels and to be spoiled, then come on in, friend. Come on over.
I would like to add to this. You ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
Always
if
ready.
If you have not read the ACOTAR series, that is A Court of Thorn and Roses by Sarah Dinas. The entire series, because even though this is a different book, I am sure Caitlin, Hilda, and I will be talking about scenes from that book series. So just like enemies of the air, beware. Like
that was Harry Potter. So sometimes Harry Potter comes up if you don't want to be spoiled on Harry Potter.
Yeah, but that's not a book spoiler. That's just my personality trait. Like it happens.
Bridget used to tell me that before we go into meetings. If there was someone in there that was going to be spicy, she'd be like, enemies of the air, beware.
It's a good phrase. It's a good phrase.
It is.
It is. It doesn't get thrown around too often. So that's a very, very good point, Bridget. We talked about some of the controversy, if you will, around this book with the very strong similarities between, we'll just say, the SJM series. So Sarah J. Maas, in case this is still not ringing a bell to you. Sarah J. Maas books we're going to talk about probably as we talk along these plot points for reasons that we discussed in the previous episode regarding those controversy issues. So just there's some crossovers. There's some similarities. And I don't want anyone coming in the comments saying that you were not properly warned. You've been warned. As Bridget said, enemies of the air, beware. So with that, I think we can get into now the overdramatic, dramatic book synopsis.
I feel like maybe I should have read this and when I posted it or pasted it in here, but I did not. So we'll go through this together.
It's a cold read. I love it.
Cold read.
All right.
Muting now.
I know. I'm looking at the screen. I guess I should have some water.
The pressure is on.
I drank too much of my wine. I should go back and get more. But I'm here.
Should do it.
I don't have a bartender to call today.
I was about to be like, your traveling bartender is not here.
He's traveling.
He's actually traveling.
He's actually traveling.
All right. Your overdramatic, dramatic book synopsis. Show me your darkness and I will show you mine. The stars are fading, the shadows are calling, and the darkness threatens everything. Another pretty page. whisk away to the fire court, Scarlet Monroe finds herself in the hands of the man who killed her mother, the Prince of Fire. Thrust amongst the Fae courts, she loads. She is at their mercy. She doesn't know what the plans he has for her, but she has plans of her own. She just hasn't decided how thoroughly she wants to break him yet. If only he didn't tempt her with every breath, every touch, every kiss. It's another dangerous game that has her wondering if she will be the one irreparably broken in the end. Another dangerous game. The Queen Fae has plans of her own. She's determined to get Scarlet in any way she can, and that includes using a mortal prince that followed her, the lost Fae princess, across the border. Crown Prince Callan is desperate to get Scarlet back from the Fire Prince and return to Beleriand. The question is, what is he willing to sacrifice for the race he loves, who's trailed by shadows? Another race against time. Every day that passes, Lord Tyndale and Mikhail get closer to finding where she's hidden in the Fire Court. Every day that passes put those Scarlet left behind in more danger. Every day that passes, more secrets are revealed. Truth has been buried in history that has long since been rewritten. But in order to separate facts from lies, they will be forced to cross the borders and seek answers from the kingdoms far terrifying than the Fire Court. Dun, dun, dun.
Well done.
Yes, that was an excellent.
I think that was literally the entire book. I don't know why I have to go through the.
It's kind of true.
I was gonna say though, it didn't feel very accurate.
This felt more like higher risk and more dramatic than what actually happened in the book.
Yeah, like this doesn't match up with what I remember reading / listening to.
Because it talks about the dangerous game, which is like Tolwyn's side. We'll get into it, but like two of these main points, it's three paragraphs. Two of the main paragraphs are about characters we barely get in this book.
Well, but like also like he didn't kill her mom.
But she doesn't know that at the beginning of the book. Remember, this is to like tee you off.
She does know that though.
No, I thought, she still thinks he.
I thought once they had established that he didn't actually kill her mom because she saw who killed her mother. And that's so, the person like, they killed at first.
Right, but he says he's responsible for it.
Yeah, she knows that he feels responsible for it, but that's not the same as.
No, like he thinks he's responsible and so does she. So she's putting the blame on him. Like,
yeah, but that.
Versus the messenger.
What I'm trying to say is like this description made it sound like he killed her mother, like physically used the knife and killed her. He did not. She knows that. Now, whereas he holds himself responsible, she holds him responsible. I realize that's a different point, but it's just like, I feel like this description that was just given of the book is inaccurate. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it fits what I read.
I think they take some liberties with the loose interpretation of killed her mother. Because at this point, although we definitely didn't suspect, I think we were all thought like, I don't know if he actually really killed her. Or
no, because that was the contributed person they killed.
Right.
At the very beginning of the book.
He didn't directly kill her, but the actions he took led to that. I just feel a bit overall, I think I'm with both of you in that it feels completely different, but it also summed it up in a way that I'm like, well, that's how the book ended.
I mean,
that's what it was about. I always sometimes wonder like if someone else besides the author writes these book synopsis, because I feel like sometimes, I mean, especially the people that are in it, they think the authors do.
No, I think like marketing rights these.
Right. Because I remember, I mean, way back in the early episodes, we used to attempt to do our own 5-minute recaps, which were never 5 minutes.
When
we tried to give you guys like a, here's what happened. And then this is why we do the overdramatic book synopsis, because we realized we're not good at that. So maybe there's some paid professionals that are good at it. But I always feel like there's a disconnect. Because I feel like this has happened a couple times now where we've read this and we're like, what? That's not what we've read. It was very good. It makes it sound very dramatic.
Well, remember, this is like what the person who's interested in the book is reading. Like, this is the
true
book description. So if I picked this up at the bookstore and I was like just reading by it, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, I want to read this. And then I would read it and be like, okay, I could semi-see like how this was outlined.
Sorry, that was me doinking my wine glass against my table.
We have added a new addition into the series where we are making musical instruments out of the wine instead of a trombone.
A tuba.
Tuba.
My assassin that played the tuba, which I have an amendment to. This is off topic, but you know, I love tangent. Where I said, no one would see an assassin playing a tuba, right? I meant
you're about to tell me you found an assassin that played a tuba.
But I'm like, a harp is way more elegant because you're like, ooh, which string is it going to be? And then you pluck the wrong string and pew. A little dart goes to the person you're trying to assassinate. No one would suspect a harp.
It should be a violin because you have, I guess, what is it, a bow?
Yeah.
And as you're playing it, that could be the weapon where you're just like, do, 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 do.
Like I'm throwing my bow? Or like.
Yeah, because it turns into an arrow.
Oh, true.
Because it's a stick. Like, how many instruments do you have that are.
See, I'm like, clearly, I'm going with like a hidden part chamber in the harp.
If you're going to use a weapon to murder people, you need to use the recorder. One, those things sound like shit, so you kill their ears. And two, poison dart at the end, blow it,
finish poof, them.
You're
off.
Dead. So if I don't kill your ears, I can still kill you.
They're dead. Then. Which this is the Spotify question of the week. If you were an assassin, what musical instrument would be your assassin weapon? And like why is it the tuba?
If you watch a lot of Tom and Jerry, it's just the classic piano.
Yeah.
Drop the piano on their head.
Right. Or you press the key in the piano and the anvil falls on top of them. Well, back to what happened in this book, because you know we love a good tangent. Let's get into thoughts and feelings on this.
It seems like everyone's first thought and feeling is about Callan. Is it Callan?
Callan.
So let's get into that.
Let's talk about this boy. Now.
You said it right there. He is a boy.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Now I'm going to liken it back to Sarah J. Maas characters here, and I'm going to take it to Throne of Glass. So if you're like, whoa, hold on, I haven't read that yet, don't spoil it for me. I mean, we told you in the beginning, so why are you still here? Lovingly, why are you still here? Okay, but here
love
we go.
Love you, but bye.
Yeah, like don't let us ruin this for you, bestie. So to me, he was the – it was this as if Kale and Dorian had a man-child together. Combined.
Oh, my God. Because with their worst personality traits.
Oh, yes, like the worst of Kale and the worst of Dorian, where he was like this not completely
pampered,
but like Callan made us believe he was of the people, like the people's prince, but he's still
– Callan's 100% a little bitch.
Well, yeah. I have in my notes, in the early stages of the book, I found Callan to be a whiny little bitch, and as I read on, he was just a whiny little bitch the entire time and such a dick to her.
The entire time and very much like a lovesick puppy, but a scorned lovesick puppy.
But an obnoxious lovesick. Like, get some self-respect, dude.
But the worst part is, like, he knows that they're not meant to be together. Because he'll be like, oh, I can see how they get along together. And he's just jealous and petty.
But even for him, like, he's doing the research on, like, soulmates and twin flames and all of that shit. And for him to still be upset at her when she's like, yeah, he's my twin flame, bro.
The last time he was pissy with her, I was like, I'm done with you. There's no redemption here.
Just like somebody, ugh, so annoying.
Put that dog down.
Yeah, so Callan is, I'm waiting for him to have his redemption arc. But for now, you're a little bitch. And I also want Eliza.
You love redemption arcs.
I do. I like to see the best in people. I like to think that we're going to come full circle. We'll get there eventually.
I just want him to die.
Yeah. Somewhat painful death.
Well, let's just say if he died, I would be like, all right, moving on. Who else is a redemption or character then for me? But I think I said it last book, I really want him and Eliza to get it on because there was some tension there where like it reminded me of like Brienne from Tarth from Game of Thrones.
Yes. Brienne of Tarth. And Jaime Lannister.
Yes.
But like a very whiny little bitchy Jaime Lannister.
Yeah. So if Callan wasn't so undeserving of women, I would be all for a Callan Eliza tumble in the sheets.
Mainly because I want to see her dominate.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
But at this point where we are in the series, what I want her to do is to make him like mincemeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is just, ugh.
No, and I'm with Bridget.
Is he a blonde? Is he a blonde?
He feels like one, doesn't he?
He does.
Is he a blonde?
I have no clue. The thing about this book, I don't know if I just like passed over it.
No, they don't give a lot of descriptions.
None whatsoever. I'm like, I have no clue what these people look like.
Scarlet except has for the silver hair.
Right. And I guess she has silver eyes.
No, she has blue eyes. She has icy blue eyes.
Icy blue eyes.
And what's his face? Soren has golden eyes and I think
mud hair. Brown color hair.
Brown hair.
I thought he was very tan.
Makes sense because Fire Prince.
Yeah, but no, I think Briar. Is it Briar? The water
Briar
court?
The water court?
Yeah, Briar. Yeah.
He is apparently the tan one. But then I was like, is he tan?
From his days in the sun.
Brown or is he golden from the sun?
Right. Just two different colors.
That's a good point. Do you guys remember the name of the guy that Sarah said we were going to be obsessed with?
No. It wasn't Soren?
No.
I hope it's not the guy that's still alive. It could be.
I wonder if, was it Dreyer?
Dreyer.
Who's Dreyer?
Drace? Isn't that Briar Drace?
No. No, Dreyer's the Shadow Walker. Shadow
his name was an
something.
R.
Riker?
No, Riker's his Soren's fake name.
Oh, yeah, Rainer.
Yeah.
Is it Rainer?
Yeah.
Is it?
No, it's Rainier.
Rainier?
Hold on.
It was Rainer.
Wait, no. It's Rainer. It is not Rainier.
It is.
Okay.
It's spelled R-A-Y-N-E-R, but it's, yeah, sure, whatever.
Tarek? Was it Tarek?
It's not. It was not Tarek. Hold on. Okay, I'm going to look this up.
Well, I'm very curious. I don't remember who she said we'll be obsessed with now. I think because I just had no concept for who these people were.
Yeah, I didn't remember anything.
So while Hild is looking this up, let's move it to the next point.
Next point. All men are fucking stupid. All males are fucking stupid. Wow.
Yep. Like, I don't even have anything to add. Like, there's no notes. Wait. No notes to that.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. I mean, facts.
She's like, retweet.
They're all just... They're all annoying. All of them. Like, put Eliza in charge. Put Hazel in charge. Put the... Like, I just want to see these women come together again.
I like Hazel a lot.
I do, too. Now, there are two similarities. I'm going to launch into this. So we talked about similarities last time. We talked about the controversy surrounding it, and we talked a little bit about at the top of this episode. There was something I highlighted, and then there was something you highlighted, Bridget, that were... separate thoughts, but almost completely word for word for something we've read previously. And even the concept of the mountaintop home away from everybody else in the mountains. And I was just like, come the fuck on. Like, we're doing the same thing. Now, again, I vibed with it because I vibed with the source material from the SJM world. But this was feeling a little too on the nose. And it almost became like I think you said it best, Bridget, like once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm. I think even when they had their joining, mm-hmm. the way it was described, it felt a lot like copy and paste of something else that we had read.
Even the way it's used to describe it as the bond snapping into place. Like snapping, a bond snapping into place is something we've only ever read in the ACOTAR series up until this point. And I feel like if you were going to pick up a similar style... a similar type of bond falling into place. Like, could we at least just like thesaurus another word?
Oh yeah. The one that really bugs me because it literally felt like the same exact sentence was when they were trying to describe how you travel through the world. Mm-hmm. And it was like taking one point on a map on another point and map and bringing it together. And I was like, that is word for word SJM. But I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that is word for word. I'm just saying, like, from what I remember,
it's the same concept. It was like picking a point in a map, folding it in half, and like
the phrasing was very similar. Like, I understand. Like, we read a lot of fantasy. A lot of the concepts are reoccurring. A lot of the themes are reoccurring, and the tropes. However, when we get down to like the actual wording of stuff, I'm like, how many words are there in the American language, the English language? That we couldn't find some.
We couldn't like take
we couldn't
this
use a fucking thesaurus?
Or throw it in ChatGPT and like come up with another way of saying this. Let's use the tools and our resources.
I have two things to say. One, it's Razik, and we haven't met him yet.
Oh, okay.
So excited. And two, I hear you guys, but I've found, I don't know, I guess in my head I already determined that because it's like not word for word plagiarism, yeah. I'm not letting myself get caught like.
Right. I just think it's annoying.
The mountain chalet thing, that didn't bother me. The description of the traveling.
Did, right?
That one did. But even I didn't catch it until you pointed it out.
Sorry. Like
I read over it. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be similar themes. I wonder if there's other, I don't know. This is, I feel like it's a new investigative study.
I wouldn't say that it is, the whole book is plagiarized. I think we said it before. I feel like there's just a lot of the way in which you describe things are the same.
Yeah.
Which is wacky. Let's move on to the author's note.
This was the best part of the book, and it made me boohoo cry.
It did make me cry. Boo-hoo
fucking cry.
It touched my heart.
Sorry, I have to laugh all day because you said that so deadpan. It touched my heart.
Like, I don't want to say I cried. I don't think I cried.
But you were touched.
I was touched.
Like, the Grinch part, like, grew a little bit. Not that you're a Grinch, but you know what I mean?
I think I appreciated the author more and her story more after reading the author's note.
Me too.
And like her perspective and where Scarlett came from in her life journey, it like had me like, oh, okay. I see you, girl. I feel you, girl.
So immediately, if you're like, what are you guys talking about? Immediately following the last chapter in this book, there is an author's note before the thank you section. I'm forgetting what that's called.
The acknowledgements.
Acknowledgements. The thank you section.
It's essentially what it is.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I'm like, it starts with another A, but the words are escaping me. In the author's note, she talks about how she wrote this time in this book at a very dark time in her place, a very dark place in her life, where she's got three children, she said, but they lost two girls like halfway through the pregnancies. And so like, she wrote this book and kind of dove into it as a way to heal, but very much related to Scarlett's feeling of hope and loss and grief. And sometimes she was okay and sometimes she wasn't. She couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And as a reminder of, there's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days, and it's okay. No matter which way you are, a good day or a bad day, it's going to be okay. And that's the way she wrote Scarlett going through this, as a way for her to deal with her own grief and trauma, which I thought was beautiful.
Yeah, I think the part that got to me was when she talked about how, you know, her friends and family met her where she was at when the grieving process, and instead of trying to lift her up, came to just be present with her and comfort her through that time. And you see Scarlett experiencing that with a lot of people of the fire court's inner court, and like that to me hits home because sometimes you can't be pulled out of darkness. You just have to live in it, and people need to meet you where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that was a part, I think, unexpected. And I think we all hit it at different times. And then, you know, the emojis with the crying eyes were flying back and forth. And I was like, what happens here? Because I was thinking
it was
a character related note about something. And in a way it was, but it was more about her reflections on the characters, which I did not expect, but really made me kind of see that whole section in a new light. And before I start boohoo crying, let's talk about – I know we all kind of had the same notes here, that this was a long book. And it's not very often that you hear us say so much – I mean, we usually hear us say so much happened in this book. In this one, I think it was a little bit of the opposite, where we weren't really getting too much of the action till the latter half.
When Bridget was talking about writing her notes and she's like, I don't know what happened in the first half of the book, I was like, that is an excellent point because I don't either.
I don't – like I had to go back and check.
Like, I know that there's very specifically a ends part one or whatever designation. And I was just like, what? I think there was a little bit more character building, but again, I feel like some of the actions that the characters took were kind of repetitive. And I didn't put it in the notes, but I'm going to say it now. I'm annoyed at Scarlett and her and Soren having these conversations of, we're not going to keep secrets from each other anymore. Mm-hmm. And what does she fucking do at the end of the book?
Wait, you did that in your – you didn't put that in your notes, but I put that in my notes. I said Scarlett's really starting to fucking annoy me. Mm-hmm. And I know she's like 19 and, you know, there's so much – but I hate when we have those adult conversations and set boundaries and expectations and then you turn around and pretend like that doesn't apply to you, or you cry like – or you try to be like the savior. Like, I'm really tired of like the female characters like putting themselves on the line to save everybody else.
I feel like this is another miscommunication trope.
Yes.
That's not really, it's willful miscommunication though. And it drives me nuts. Also, the part where I was like screaming at my phone was when she was talking to Hazel and Hazel's like talking about her son. And I was like,
you're fucking stupid.
I was like, you don't know who she's fucking talking about, Hazel. I mean, Scarlett. And then, fine. She did get it eventually.
Oh my God, but it took her way too long.
But I was like, God, 19-year-olds are so stupid. No offense to any 19-year-olds that listen.
Because we were once 19-year-old and stupid.
Yeah, definitely was stupid.
I feel still that way at the almost age of 30. So like
I'm still stupid. So anyways.
I feel like some things happened too quickly and some things were revealed too slowly. Like that was one of them where I think there was – some miscommunication, they forgave each other, and then like instantly were like lovey-dovey in love all over the place. And I'm like, well, hold on. Took us like four paragraphs to understand who Cassius was to Hazel. But in one paragraph, we're going from fighting to fucking to madly in love.
How do you guys feel about all the plot twists?
Oh, I like them. I like a plot twist.
I like this like slow uncovering that things aren't what they seem to be, because I feel like we go in with – we've read so many of these fantasy novels and we expect things to go a certain way. But the they fact don't. That little by little, it's like an onion and you're peeling different
layers. I don't mind
it's like
it.
The Shrek onion.
I wish it was at a quicker pace because yes. I'm impatient and I don't want to do 400 pages of character growth if I know that there's going to be plot development later in the book, which it turns out there wasn't that much anyhow. But again, this is like a true second book in a series for me.
It definitely was a second book, a bridge, I think, building I just up wish to what's going to happen in the third.
The spice was earlier because I think I was just kind of waiting around for it. So when it finally did happen, it was just underwhelming for me. But yeah. The spice that did catch me off guard and was very much appreciated was, Hilda, you also referenced them, like, Talwyn's and Azriel.
Yeah.
Okay. Was not expecting that.
I was annoyed that we were getting her chapters. And then I started reading. I was like, I take it back. I'm glad we got those chapters.
I'm glad we got those chapters. And I love them. I just have a hard time reconciling the fact that all these male characters knew her as a little child. Like, Azriel knew her little, watched her grow up, and now was like, I'll give you some distractions. And, like, I know, fae are immortal. They have different rules and laws in the male, you know, the human world. But I'm still like, ugh.
That is a good point.
That's the only part that gave me a little pause.
In my head, he met her when she was an older teenager. Not that that makes it much better. Like, the whole, like, Soren, like, if she, when Soren thought that she was supposed to be his twin flame and he got creeped out by it. Right. Like, I understood that 100%.
Right.
The Azriel Talwyn connection didn't like.
It was like a sugar daddy, sugar baby situation minus yeah. the sugar.
Oh, she was getting some sugar.
Yeah.
She was calling him daddy.
She was. I will say though, I still haven't really connected with these characters yet.
I agree. I feel the same way. That's why I don't love the book. I don't love the series. I'm just kind of like reading it to read it.
I don't know.
I like it, but I'm not connected
with them. I'm diving
into
it immediately afterward. I'm like, oh, this is refreshing. They're all right here diving into the next one. I don't think they're my inner circle, but they are an inner circle I will accept. So
I love that for you. I do. I wish I loved it as well.
maybe it'll happen. Because we did get some comments in the last one. Everyone's like, just you wait. Just wait.
No, I believe the people. Like, they tell me I'm going to love it. Chances are I'm going to love it. But I don't love it yet.
Right. I'm in like, you guys are like, meh.
I'm kind of crushing, but
it's too early to tell.
It's too early. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I feel like if Bridget in a different month had read this, she would have loved it. But right now,
current not life vibing.
Bridget is not vibing with it because it's giving me a headache because I have to think.
Well, let's dive into some background so no one else has to think because we got some things confirmed.
At least I read the book, so I think they're confirmed. And if I'm wrong, just tell me or just wait for us to get to the big reveal in the next book, I guess, because anything can happen at this point. Okay, so we know that Avonlea. But how do you say the people?
Avonleans.
So many extra letters for what? The Avonleans gave their magic in exchange for being the power source to the Fae. We don't know why. That entire sentence still confuses the fuck out of me because they gave their magic to another group of people to be their power source. So are they feeding off the power? Anyhow, maybe I'm just thinking too much into it. But anyhow, so the Night Children, also known as Vampiri, are descendants from these people. And during the war, the Avonleans provided guardians to the Fae. And then we have witches and shifters that were created after a powerful sorceress captured and stripped her magic as penance, and her magic was gifted to create witches and shifters. And the witches are bonded to Queen Aline, and the shifters are bonded to Queen Henna. So each queen is able to use those powers to those people that they're bonded to. Now, Queen Esmeri. And King Damus of the Mortal Lands fought a war against the people of Avonlea. And the rest of the group and territories seem to have been caught in the middle, but I don't believe they know that they were in the middle. I think they believe that they were in a direct conflict with the Mortal Lands. And so they say that the queen and the king were seeking something across the sea, but we don't know what it is yet. So if you have not read this book, that sounds confusing as fuck. And as I'm going through the outline, you will find out where we kind of found this information. But just so, like, background purposes, this is what we know so far. Does that seem accurate?
Yes. Yes. The only caveat is I think that what we know right now is probably going to change.
Correct.
Because we already ran into it during book one. That's like, history isn't quite right. Like the record of what happened isn't quite right.
Right. So the history that I just confirmed for you is accurate at the end of the book.
Accurate as we know it.
Okay.
So cool. Like subject to change.
Right. As of right now, book two, this is what it is.
It still gives me a headache as I think about it. Okay, so we entered this book. It's two parts, but there is a bit of like a little small pre-chapter. And we get Scarlet. She's in her dream state and she meets this male with the silver hair that's super beautiful that we have been introduced to before in the past book. And he tells her to close her eyes and see who answers her call. And a black panther by the name of Sharina. I think my autocorrect. And then my mom's name is Shireen, so this is not going to help.
I'm pretty sure Sharina.
Sharina, yeah. Who is a servant of one of the gods, is her new spirit animal. And he also tells her to go face her shadows, and then it will be time for them to meet. He gives her like this cute little pep talk, and I was like, all right, cool. It is what it is. So now we're starting the actual part one of the book. It's called The Shadows. And so Scarlet has been in a very deep sleep to recover from the stabbing that she received in the last book when she was fighting off the Night Children. And she's also detoxing from the potions that she's been taking nightly in order to suppress her magic. So Soren is all like alpha protective male, and he finally tells Brer, who is the Prince of the Water Court, who she is and who she is in regards to the kingdom, their old queen, and him. And so while Scarlet is asleep and locked away in Soren's quarters, because that's where she's staying, Callan has been removed and put into the guest wing, and he can't enter, and he's losing his mind. He's just losing his mind because he's a little bitch. And so when she finally wakes up, she's pissed off at Soren because she feels betrayed, because he is the king of withholding information. So he's not technically lying, but he's not telling her the truth. And she just found out that not only is he from the Fire Court and he's Fae, but now she found out that he is the Fire Court prince who she believes is the reason her mother is dead. So she is hurt. And she ends up meeting his inner court. They hit it off immediately. It's like she has always been there. And Soren had taken the twin flame bond in the past book in order to find her. And because the bond is not completed, he is weakening quickly. He's losing his magic. He's trying to conserve it. And she doesn't know any of this because they are keeping her in the dark. So as she is staying at the Fire Court, she decides that she's going to pick up magic training with Soren to kind of get her stuff under control. She starts combat training with Eliza. She hasn't been ready to talk to Callan yet, but he confronts her when he sees her in the courtyard crossing a bridge. And he's a complete fucking dick to her. Like, I don't even have to go into the details, but he's just like a complete dick to her once again. And she's just like, I was stabbed. I'm trying to figure this out.
He's not even a good fucking friend.
No. Can you imagine? Callan. You wake up in a new place. People who you thought you knew were liars. You're finding all this information about yourself and your mom. And then you have this little whiny little princy little bitch who is like, what about me?
Calls you a slut.
Yeah. Hate him. I was ready to like throw him out of the kingdom and let him
and
die.
This is where it reminded me of Dorian/Kale, because I'm pretty sure he said the exact same to her. Like, they called Selena a slut at the time. And I was just like, you're annoyed.
That was something like I think Kale had said.
I think maybe
Kale. Yeah, what did I say? I said Kale. Dorian, Kale. One of them. One of them actually.
You said both of them together. Yeah. I was just clarifying.
No, in my brain, I thought maybe I said Callan.
Oh, no. While she's in the Fire Court, the prince, Soren, is, reconnecting with his people, trying to follow up with all his princely duties. And while they're there, there's the holiday Samhain.
Samhain, yes.
Samhain is happening. And this was in the past, the same holiday that Scarlet had met Callan at his palace, and they danced, and that was their first like meeting together. So Soren tells her like, hey, like there's this holiday. I have to attend. I have to do all these princely things. You don't have to come if you don't want to, because I understand this is a lot. And she says, no, I want to be there. I need to get out of the, everyday grind of it. I don't know exactly what she tells him. I don't remember. But she goes. She's beautiful. She dances. She has fun. She leaves Soren to do his princely duties. And Callan approaches her to dance. And while they're dancing, he gets into a disagreement because he still wants her to be his queen, even though she has said no multiple times. And then he storms off and he goes for a walk outside of the palace. And he gets intercepted by Queen Talwyn, who, as we know, has been trying to find Scarlet. And she convinces him to go back to her residence to discuss more about Scarlet. Like an idiot, he goes. It was giving very much like Edmund from The Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe, hopping in the sleigh with the White Witch. And I was like, you're an idiot.
He was like, what?
Yeah, he's like, what did I do? I thought I was just doing everything for everyone.
I was just trying to get answers.
Yeah.
No one told me anything.
Oh, no. I wonder why.
So Scarlet is storming out of the ballroom and she's heading back to her rooms. And Cyrus, who is the second in command of the Fire Court, follows her. And we find out that he has a twin flame who passed away during one of the rescue missions for the previous queen. And he basically tells her that so he knows what it's like to live in darkness. And she's shocked because he seems so chipper and happy. And, he's been able to move on. And she thinks she's not able to move on from this darkness that she has been living in. So that was a cute moment. The next day, they're in training. Talwyn comes back and she crashes training and attacks them. And she has Callan with her. And Scarlet loses her shit because she's like, oh my God, these are my friends. She has PTSD with her friends getting, captured and using as bargain to get them to do whatever she needs. And she fights them off. She ends up breaking her arm. She exerts so much power that she has to be put to bed for a day. And Soren is livid, so livid that he has to blow off steam with Eliza, and they're at the risk of breaking the palace. So they wake up Scarlet in order to calm him down. After that, she goes to the library. She runs into Callan. She finds out that Callan was the reason that Telwyn was able to get through the wards, and that he's been researching all these things about the kingdoms, about the mortal lands, about twin flames and soulmates. And so she offers to help him because she's, you know, still a good person, but she also has her own questions that need to be answered. And so then she's summoned by the queen. He gets laid into, he's in a foul mood. He goes to his cabin. And this is where Scarlet's like, you're in the darkness. I'm going to come drag you up like you have been dragging me up in the past. I'm going to be with you.
Just clarify, this is Soren. I don't think he said his name.
Oh, Soren. So Soren gets summoned by the queen. She basically tells him off about how he's been doing a terrible job and such a failure. So he's in a foul mood and he goes to the cabin where he retreats and throws his tantrum. And Scarlet says, hey, no, you're the person. You're my person that has always been there for me. I'm going to be there for you. She attempts to go there. She is taken by Brer and Cyrus, and they're like, don't go there. He's in a foul mood. Nothing's going to happen. He basically opens the door, uses everything he's ever been told by her about her secrets, her past, her insecurities, flings that shit in her face and tells her, like, off. And then she's pissed and she's hurt and she's like, you know what? Screw you. I'm out of here. While she's storming off, she leaves, and Brer and him get into a fist fight. Mikhail shows up, who they have been hiding for. Mikhail apparently has powers and he was able to teleport some sort of way, or
it's like a hologram.
And he was able to tell them, like, hey, where's Scarlet? I felt her at some point. So, like, I'm going to come get her. So now they're on high alert because now he's back in the picture. I'm going to speed this up. So Scarlet is super hurt. She basically is so in her feelings, she accidentally travels and they don't know where to find her. And Callan was able to tell them, oh, she's probably at your apartment because that's where she's felt the safest, outside of the fire court. And they end up going to underground prison, making a bargain with the sorceress, who is the sorceress that Magica was taken and given to the witches and the shifters to create them. And so he makes a bargain with her to be able to travel the worlds really quickly.
Which I was like, sir, is this the best use of a bargain? Like, you know she's going to do some sneaky, sneaky stuff.
Well, she says, in order for me to do this for you, you need to give me the blood of a god. And he's like, blood of god? Those don't exist. I've never found one. You've never found one. I'm like,
okay, so now we know a blood of some god is going to
pop up. I was like, great. Now we know Scarlet's probably part god and these people in the Avalone are probably god somethings. And here we go. Here we go again.
The Avaliani.
Why is there so many words?
Just Avonleans.
Avonleans. Avalon, Avonleys, whatever. I butchered it. You can come yell at me in the fucking reviews if you want. So that happens. They're able to go locate Scarlet. She's doing her thing and playing her trombone. Not actually.
She's playing her piano. But in my head, it's the tuba.
She's playing the piano and it's soulful and whatever. They have a moment, you know, she kind of forgives him, even though he's been an asshole to her. And then Mikhail shows up and they have to fight Mikhail off. And then they return back to the fire court. Callan is able to comfort her. And then they go back to the library and suddenly she's having weekly dinners with Callan and she finds a tunnel underneath the library. And that's basically part one. Woo! Part two, the stars. Callan's a major dick. That's it. He's just the dick. Soren knows that she's having a hard time with Callan and everything that's going on. So he's like, let's go on a date. We'll go dancing afterwards with our friends. And when she tries to leave to go home with him because she's drunk and he's hot and they, you know, have these tensions, he's like, no, I'm going to send you home. Like, when I fuck you, you know I'll fuck you. And I was like, I don't think he said that. But in my head, I was like, this is what's happening. And then, of course, Soren is summoned by the queen again. And when he goes, her panther, her spirit animal, shows up and takes her to the Witch Kingdom to see the Oracle. So here's where we start getting some good information.
I think from here on out, things got good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let's go. So the High Witch, who is, you know, the High Witch of the Witch Kingdom, is there to escort her to the Oracle. We find out the High Witch's name is Hazel. The Oracle is none other than Juliet, who is her third sister in the Shadow Maidens, whatever, from the Black Syndicate.
Yeah.
The Wraiths of Death.
Right, the Wraiths of Death. And so we know Juliet was stabbed by Scarlet in order to save this one orphan girl when she was captured by Mikhail. So she's been mourning her this entire time. Did you know this was going to happen?
I had a feeling once they said that Juliet was a witch, I had a feeling, what if she's not really dead? And, well, she did die, but apparently when Scarlet killed her, it was able to release her essence and she
transported back.
And she was able to replace whoever the old Oracle was, because apparently the Oracle is a super powerful witch and she gets replaced like every 1,000 years.
I thought it was interesting she replaced her with all the memories of being like a living human, in air quotes, but like a living human. Like she came into that with all this experience to draw back on. So she remembered Scarlet. She remembered all of their things. It wasn't like she was Juliet with no memory of the past. Now she was in this Oracle world. She was Juliet, very much her best friend and sister, who helped her navigate to this new transition in her life, who also happened to have the super cool title of Oracle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked this.
Me too. So she convinces her. I know. She convinces her she can be queen. And Scarlet's been hung up because she doesn't want to be queen, because she doesn't want that responsibility. She doesn't want that to be chained down by the throne. And so she convinces her, like, there's no one else better to be queen. She can be queen alongside her cousin, and together they'll figure out together. She also tells her that Soren is her twin flame. And she's like, what? No. I was like, you're a dumb bitch. And Juliet's basically like, girl, you're not this dense. Like, what is going on?
Like, you knew this. You knew this. Stop being stupid.
Yeah, exactly. She also says that her father, Scarlet's father, is some strong magical being, but she can't tell her who or what because, you know, she's tight-lipped as the Oracle. Juliet tells her about the keys and the doors to Avonlea, and she will find the answers about her father there. And so Queen Henna disguised 7 keys and hid them, and her daughter can restore them, but Aline gave one of the keys to each bloodline. And then Queen Selenia, who we have never heard of, hid the other 2. But Scarlet can find it and help get them restored.
So that was interesting to me because I feel like that clue gave us a lot. She said there's the 3 sisters and they hid them in each of their bloodlines. Tallwyn can find 1 and Scarlet could find 2. So I was like, is she up? She clearly must be of 2 bloodlines or have some ties to 2 bloodlines. So either I'm presuming by her mother, Elena, or at this point, I was presuming it was through Elena and then whoever her father was, maybe it was the silver-haired man that we've been seeing this entire time.
I do think the beautiful silver-haired man is her father, and I think he's a god.
Me too. And I think he resides in Avonlea.
He resides in Avalon.
I love how you just pronounce it differently every time.
Because I don't know what it actually is.
I like it. I'm here for the chaos.
Welcome.
I definitely think it's her father, but I didn't realize that they would be a god, which was interesting. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Right, but either way, she has to work with her cousin to be able to get all the keys and restore them in order to use them to access the wards or the doors. And then Juliet gives her 3 gifts, and I don't know how these are gifts, but whatever. She says, the keys have always been trying to get home. An artist must give you the twin flame mark or a powerful seer, aka Juliet. So Juliet gives her the mark to be able to bond with, you know, her twin flame. And she helps her unlock her powers. So our girl is a bad bitch now. She is all powerful queen. She also tells her that those who can walk among the worlds brought a book with them in the beginning and she needs to find it. So the book comes up now. We hear about it later in this book. And then she also tells her that to tell Hazel that the Oracle said it is time and it is revealed that Cassius is the High Witch's son, which apparently Scarlet could not figure out because she's dumb. And then she tasks Scarlet with bringing him home to the Witch Kingdom.
And this opened more questions for me, not about Cassius, but I was just like, you know, because they kill – women are the – it's very much a matriarchal society. And male babies are discarded once they are born. But it did beg the question, where are the other half? Like, where are all the males
that they're dead. Who is Hazel banging?
Right. Like, who also, are all the witches banging?
I don't know if you guys caught this, but – and this is probably a little ahead. When Hazel's telling Scarlett about
they're her more mother, than friends?
Yeah. I was like –
Uh-huh.
I was like
– I caught that too, and I'm like, is this a Triceratops situation?
That was interesting. And then we
I get thought they were just lesbo lovers.
And then we get the reveal at the end.
Oh, wait. Elena and her were more than just friends.
Yeah. That's what Hazel says.
Oh, I thought you were referring to when she was like, I thought it was Cassius that was a bit more than
no.
friends.
No, but someone else did say that her wrong. And Cassius were more, and we find out why.
Right. Oh, right. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Look at me imagining a Triceratops where there is none. Not even a shrug.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Well, that may make some things more clear. But again, it goes back to my question, who is Hazel banging?
Well, yeah. Who is
who
the
are
male?
They all banging, really? Who is, like, who are they all banging?
Who is the male that Hazel banged that we have a super powerful Cassius?
Who is it that Queen Aline banged and we have the all super powerful Scarlet?
Well, Elena.
Is it really?
Elena, yeah.
Yeah.
Can her name just be Aline? Isn't it spelled like that?
Yeah.
Well, there's an...
It is.
There's an accent mark on the is last there?
I never know what the accent marks mean. I just know it's a...
Not on different. My notes, ma'am. But yeah, okay. So after all of this happens with the Oracle, she travels back to Fire Court, then to the White Halls, and she intercepts the meeting that our boy Sorn has been at, and she tells everyone... The queen tells everyone to leave Talwyn. And so Scarlett and Soren say the meeting, Bonrite or whatever, and she claims her throne. And then Talwyn's like, hey, this is part of my plan the entire time. You need to keep her identity. We have to go find these keys and doors, and we don't need to cause more drama. So they go back to the Fire Court, they meaning Scarlett and Soren. And instead of fucking it out, they end up having a fight because he kept the twin flame secret from her. She decides she's going to travel, and they end up in the Earth Court, and the Earth Court prince comes up to her, and it's revealed that she is the queen, and then that makes Queen Talwyn summon them all over again, but not before they go to the cabin and they fuck it out and complete the mating ritual, one of the trials.
Now, when they were saying trials, I'm picturing like...
Trials. Like I like thought trials, they were going to... Yeah. Right. I did not
I
realize
save
it was
your
like
life.
A...
You're going to be poisoned somehow, and I got to, like, figure out a way to save you before time runs out, like, in an actual trial. Not, like, basically complete this checklist trial.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, like, Spartan trial.
I was thinking of, like, to bring it back to Zodiac Academy, when they have their Elysian mate, it's like they're tested to see if
that makes more sense.
And that's kind of where I was thinking these trials would come in, like
it kind of is like that but they like receive the marks out of order because she had saved his life by completing the bond and vice versa and all this other stuff. Anyhow, read the book, you'll find out. And so after they bang it out, of course, Queen Talwyn summons them back, and everyone is all cut up now. The courts are informed about her title, about the potential threat that the Fae courts are receiving. They agree a summit must be called, and all the territories need to be informed. And Scarlett is planning to go back to the Mortal Lands to handle the original danger from book one, which is Mikhail. And she needs to secure the orphans who are being killed.
And bring Cassius
back. So that's... just what she has to do in the Mortal Lands. Scarlett ends up meeting the inner court of the Water Court. I feel like that's a lot to say. And then she's like, hey, I have one more thing. I need to go to the Witch Kingdom so I can tell her that we're going to be summoning her. But also, I just need to talk to her and get like some other things. So she goes there. We find out a lot of information in the Witch Court Kingdom again. So we find out that Scarlett was born there and delivered by the High Witch herself. She lives in the kingdom until she was 3. Sybil is the witch's sister, the High Witch, so Hazel's sister, who is Juliet's mother. And then that means that Juliet and Cassius are cousins. And then this is kind of where we find out that history that I confirmed in above before we started this deep dive about all the information about the courts, the lands, the kings. And then she's able to make the potion for the fire court to go to the human lands and access their powers because Scarlet has said that she needs them in order to complete her mission. We also find out afterwards that Soren had visited the Oracle after Queen Elaine left. And he found out from the Oracle that his twin flame was the queen's daughter. Now, at this time, the only queen who had a daughter and her name was Talwin. So he was like, no, that's gross. Like, I helped raise her. She cannot be my twin flame. And also she has someone who she thinks is her twin flame. But this is part of like what started their rift is all of that. And her twin flame ends up dying when he tries to save Queen Elaine. So that's a lot of trauma, mama. And like, I get why they have such hard tensions. So Talwin and Scarlet are taken by their spirit animals later in the book to a parallel plane where they encountered the silver hair man from her dreams. And he shows her a rift between the planes and in the same spot where she originally met Callan in the last book. And he tells her to finish the trials, find the keys, and come home. So that's his daddy. In my opinion.
Agreed. There's something. It has to be daddy.
So when they return back to their normal courts, they meet with all of their court princes and explain the trip. And in a separate meeting, one of Brer's men, who's the water prince, so his like commander or something, questions her leadership. And this is when she reveals to everyone that she is from the Black Syndicate, who her mother is. She is the Death's Maiden. And, you know, her duty also is to protect the children of the Black Syndicate. And so she obviously is in her feelings about it, whatever, whatever. She decides to go tell Callan that, you know, they're going home and that, you know, she's married, she has a twin flame, all of these things. And instead of being an understanding person, he is a complete fucking dick to her. Nothing has changed. Soren then confronts her about all the things that she's been hiding. So she takes him to the underground passage underneath the library. He tells her that Diamis was, who we thought was the Mortal King, is actually a Maron King.
Maron?
Yeah, Maron.
So it's Deimos. It's Deimos, and then, yes, a Maron is how Alexa said it.
Yes.
Okay.
Maron Lord.
Because I remember the first time she said this, I was thinking.
I was like, moron?
Yeah.
What?
That's what I was thinking.
So Deimos, who is the Mortal King, was a Maron King. And we're like, what the hell is that? Who is that? Who are those people? She still doesn't know, but she knows that there's seven lords. And when he was killed, the lords were able to access more. She believes Mikhail and Lord Tyndale are lords, along with the man that she killed for her mother's death at the beginning of the first book. She also...
No, it was the guy from the harbor
that got off the ship. Beginning? Yeah, isn't that the beginning of the first book?
No. There's... In the first book, it starts with the wraiths killing Draken.
Who she also believed killed her mother. But yeah. In this instance,
it was
another guy...
He was coming off and he was like, oh, I'm here to like visit my kin. And mm-hmm. they were like, you smell kind of funny. Yeah. And then that's because when they were investigating the children first going missing.
Right.
Okay. In my head, those were the same people. I don't know why. I think I was sleepy when I was reading that book. And then also she found all these books on blood magic and she's figured out that they're using the orphans in the Black Syndicate because they have magic in them to destroy the wards. A lot of information is being thrown at us. So after this is happening, they're trying to get frisky with it. And then they're summoned because the Night Children, who are the vampiry, are at the borders of each court causing a distraction. And they don't know it's a distraction yet, but they're calling for all the princes. Scarlet realizes what it is, and she knows it's a distraction. So she pretends that she's going to do the safe thing and stay behind the wards while everyone is, you know, handling the situation. And then she runs off to go find the mortal army. And she leaves everyone behind. She leaves her wedding ring and she tells Soren, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I will always love you and whatever. Basically a final goodbye. It hurts like a bitch because that sucks. And then she confronts them. She kills most of them. And then she's knocked unconscious. And she, as she's like asleep, she has a memory of her forming the guardian bond with Cassius, who's a witch. And this a silvered haired woman is the one who did the bond.
And calls her Starfire.
And calls her Starfire, which I forgot to tell you guys, but in one of the meetings with the courts and the princes, she, you know, used her power and they said, oh, Starfire.
Yeah, Ashton, so the mythical, I think she's the Court of the Winds, said that. Who almost functions as an oracle herself. She's always listening to the winds and speaks in riddles.
Yeah, she speaks in riddles. It's weird, but... and then she awakes and she's somewhere. And then the guy that, you know, had captured her was like, let me introduce myself. I'm Tarik. Tarik?
Tarik.
Tarik? I am the rightful heir of the Earth Court. And I am your cousin's twin flame. So we are basically family. Dun, 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 dun. You know what popped into my head as soon as this happened? I said, holy shit. Our queen, Talwin, is fucking her twin flame's brother.
Oh.
I don't know if they're actually brothers, but I know they're related because she even, Scarlet, when she saw him, she was like, made reference about how he looked like Azrael.
Now, where are we on Azrael? Because I can't get a read on if he's completely good or he's like, is he good or is he bad?
I think
he's loyal to Talwin 100%.
No, I think he is, I feel like he's using her. I know he's loyal to her, but I think he's using her and trying to manipulate her into being more like claim your throne, claim the courts, all of him. Like that's what the vibe I get. I feel like he's a little bad.
I feel like he's using her for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I didn't get that vibe.
Like I'm very
well, he was hyping her up like she did this to you. Look how easy she has it, and you have like, sacrificed, which I mean she did, like don't get me wrong. She did sacrifice a lot to be queen and stuff like that. But he was like whispering in her ear. I feel like her point of views in life.
This is turning into a soap opera. And I'm kind of digging it.
It's true. The reveals keep happening.
People you thought were dead are not.
I know. Everyone's dun, dun, just dun, coming dun. Back.
Who's your daddy? Who's your mommy?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, it's like Days of Our Lives at 1 p.m.
Stefano's trying to get Marlene back, Marlena. God, that was the epitome of a good summer right there. Just catch it up on Days of Our Lives. You would go the entire school year. Yeah.
Open bow.
Open bow.
And then followed by Bold and Beautiful.
Yep.
I used to watch General Hospital.
I used to be Days of Our Lives followed by Passions. Passions?
Passions.
I think that's what it's called.
You are my passion for life.
Yeah, there's like a weird doll in one of them. Anyway, I digress. I wonder if this is bringing back memories for anyone of a good summer spent at home.
spent with grandma.
Sorry.
Okay, ratings and reviews.
All right. I give this one go between 2.75 and a 3.
Ooh.
I know. Only because I just found – I think I landed a 3 is what I typed. But I gave a 3 because this one felt – it was just very slow and repetitive in the beginning. And you know I hate a repetitive situation. And I felt like the miscommunication tropes had dragged on a little bit enough where the same thing as you spoke about earlier. I have secrets. We're not telling secrets, but I'm going to keep the secret from them and then keep all these other secrets from him. And then he doesn't have the right to be mad at me. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
That was a little annoying for me. But – I ended up bumping up to the 3 because I felt the ending had a very good plot twist. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I immediately went to the next one. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. That's why I did like, I think when I wrote it, I put 3.5, but I think it's like a 3.25 for me. I was trying to be nicer than the last writing.
I'm at a 3.5. The beginning was not memorable. The end really picks up. But I stand by my earlier statement that I'm just like, I don't love these characters. I'm
intrigued
by them.
No, but why is it the spicy scene that's most memorable is not even the main characters for me?
I kind of appreciate that, though.
Look, at this point, I'll take smut where you can get smut. Mm-hmm. That's where we got.
I mean, true.
I'll take it.
But if that was the case, you could have given us the smut at the beginning with the other characters. Why? Why put it all in the last 15%?
Right. Sprinkle it in. I'm just saying, Eliza could have done some things. To Callan to get her right over Soren. I mean, Soren. Eliza could have done some things to Callan to get him just way over Scarlet. You know what I mean?
Like she deserves better, though. She deserves better.
She could turn that boy into a man.
Yeah. She'd, like, slap him and they'd be like, you liked that, didn't you? And he'd be like, yes, please, ma'am. And like, that's where it would end. And he was like, whoa. And she'd be like, I'm going to whoop you into shape, literally and figuratively. So who else had their – oh, you guys already did your ratings. Obviously, we'll be back next time to talk about book three, Lady of Ashes. And this one originally we were going to put into a two-parter, which is why we delayed it. We delayed this one a little bit for you eagle-eyed followers of the podcast. But we delayed this one a little bit because we're going to do the first 50%. And then we realized, not that much happens. So let's keep going, power through. But so we'll see if the next one becomes a two-parter, depending on how much we get through. But we are covering that book next. And before we go, let's get into some shout-outs. Spoiler alerts for the following books: An Endless Escape, House of Earth and Blood, Lady of Darkness, Manacled, Midnight Ruin, Pestilence, and Sorrow and Starlight. So if you are okay to be spoiled on any of those books, keep on going. If not, we'll catch you later, friends. But let's dive into the Spotify questions of the week. As a reminder, you can find these on our Spotify account. We got questions for every episode, so you can go back in time, find one you've read, and answer it. Give us your thoughts and feelings, and we'll talk about them live when we record the next podcast. So this next question comes to us from our friend Kirsten M., and she answered the question, are you reading the series and should we continue covering? And that was in regards to An Endless Escape, which was the book two in that series, A Forbidden Fate. And Kirsten M. said, I loved the first book, but this book jumped in with no recap and had an added million characters, and I was so confused. The spicy scene with her floating spirit body was also weird, which I completely forgot about. This is my own note here until you mentioned this, Kirsten. So totally weird, but she might read the third.
We don't have a date on that one yet, I think, so.
Next comes to us from House of Earth and Blood. It's the age-old question. Is it pronouncing it Danica or Danica? Our friend Steph said, it's Danica. No knee involved. So Danica, not Danica. I know, you did mess it up because for a second there, I was like, my brain can't compute. N-I, that's knee.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bridget. Next one comes from Lady of Darkness. Book one. And the question was, after book one, we're a little lost. Is that on purpose or do we just have poor reading comprehension skills? And can you kindly explain? Two friends weighed in on this. One is Callista Sapphire. She said, plot device for some great reveals. So really excited for that. And Anne Moore said, sorry, can't help since I haven't read it, but I'm mentally prepared for the Scarlet Girl to play a fake tuba. God bless you, Anne Moore.
I loved we that.
Can only hope that she does play the fake tuba. That made me laugh.
Can we get one of the author to revise it so she could play the tuba?
Or can we get one of those 3D artists to reenact the scene for us?
A commissioned piece?
Yes.
That would be great. Maybe our next giveaway.
That will be the next giveaway.
Same question. After book one, we're a little lost. Can you kindly explain? Our good friend Paige said, I read all five at the beginning of last year. I'm pretty sure more gets explained as the story progresses. So I think that's what a few of you guys have chimed in our DMs about, and we are excited to see where this goes. This next question, it comes to us from the Manacled episode, part two, where we said, what'd you think about this episode? And Paige answered, I would 100% listen to a podcast that talks shit. I would have so much to contribute. This question is from the same episode. What'd you think about this episode? Anne Moore said, first of all, yes, we are all here for a shit-talking podcast. Exclamation point. Second, I definitely picked up this fanfic after hearing your last podcast. Yay.
Glad Did you read it? Did you like it? Did you cry?
What were your thoughts? Did you have a delayed, like, 10-day reaction cry like I did? Steph answered the same episode, and she said, wow, that was heavy. Still enjoyed listening, though. Excited for the next episode with a little heart. Will you guys do Throne of Glass episodes one day? I'm currently reading it, and I'm loving it.
Girl, you already know.
Yes. I poorly attempted. I'm like, you know what? I can give everyone one episode recap of everything you need to know in Throne of Glass. And I will say, I made a valiant effort and realized.
She did.
This is not going to happen. This is not going to work. So we are going to cover, I think, over the summer, right, Hilda?
Yeah, we start at the end of June, actually.
End of June. So there you have it. So this question comes to us from Midnight Ruin, which was Dark Olympus book series, Dark Olympus book 6. Question was, are you reading the Dark Olympus series and should we keep covering it? Claudia said, I gave up after Wicked Beauty. I'm not Katie Roberts' target audience, but I'm a teeny bit interested to hear how the overarching story unfolds. So I'm living vicariously through you guys.
Happy to serve. Anytime, any day.
We'll take it. Now, this next one made me laugh because it doesn't come up that often, but it just makes me laugh. So this one comes to us from Pestilence, which was the first book in the Four Horsemen series. The question is, he's blonde, he's buff, he's hot, but could you date a guy named Pestilence? And Catherine Webb said, nope, hard pass.
Oh, Pesty.
She's like, the nickname Pesty didn't do it for you? Like, potentially you could get away with Petey, I suppose. But, I mean, that's just too far.
Petey's a dog.
Yeah. Pestilence actually sounds better compared to Petey. This next question is from Zodiac Academy Book 8, Sorrow and Starlight. And we asked, if you could change one thing about ZA8, what would it be? Catherine Webb answered, and she said, Seth and Caleb's dumb miscommunications. It's driving me nuts.
Retweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Join the club, sister.
There's two.
Annoying AF.
They did fuck it out. No, they actually need to talk it out.
I almost want them to talk it out.
They need to. They need to talk it out at this point.
Also want to share a few of you, a quick thank you again for leaving us. Two of you guys left us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we just have to say how much we appreciate it. I think we all really appreciate it because it helps us find more of our friends who love these books and love talking about them. And we just get very excited to hear them. So thank you to Haley. She said, love this podcast and everything they have to say and talk about. They always make me giggle. Definitely recommend this podcast. So thank you, Haley.
That's sweet. Thank you.
And a next one was from Annie May. L96, she said, heart eyes, I love the show. Love you guys' perspective and personalities and how well you mesh together. P.S. Allison Akatar is, in fact, a tree bark person, much like the Groot, according to the Akatar coloring book, Sarah J. Maas approved at Barnes & Noble. Fun fact.
I am Groot.
I love this so much.
I really appreciate the fact that you came correct to help us make sure, because I remember I was very startled when I'm like,
we're like tree bark skin?
Is she a tree bark person? Is she Groot?
Is this an analogy?
Oh my God.
So thank you. I'm still shocked by this. I'm still shocked. Oh, poor Alice and her dry skin, I thought all this time. She's just tree bark.
She needs some like Lubriderm.
Yeah.
One of those old commercials with the crocodile.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, ladies, that is it from us tonight. We'll be back next week to talk about Lady of Ashes. Any last parting words?
No, I want to go read because I got to a good part.
I know, me too.
I guess I'll download the book because FOMO.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.